Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm very pleased to be chatting today with Mary Lou Fisher, who is a nurse practitioner and the International Senior Health Advisor at Samaritan's Purse. Samaritan's Purse is a non-denominational evangelical Christian non-government relief organization, an NGO, based in Boone, North Carolina. Welcome, Mary Lou.
Thank you.
Now, Mary Lou wrote an article along with colleagues Tom Wood, an epidemiologist, and Lance Plyler, a physician, who are also at Samaritan's Purse. And the article appearing in the May issue is responding to the cholera epidemic in Haiti. And it tells the story of how this particular group of health care workers established a containment and intervention efforts in this disastrous event back in 2010. When cholera epidemic broke out in Haiti after their horrific earthquake. So, Mary Lou, before we talk a little bit about the Haiti work, tell us a little bit about how you, as a nurse, got started in this type of work, international relief work.
Well, actually, it's something that I've had on my mind since I was a teenager. I, at one point, wanted to do international work, and I was thinking like New Guinea or a place like that. So I went on to nursing school, a diploma school, and met my husband, got married, raised my children, and then I was working in an emergency department where one of the physicians was a part-time medical director for Samaritan's Purse, and I said, I want to do what you do. So he made a phone call, and within a couple of weeks, I took a short leave of absence from my work in the emergency department, and I was on my way to Albania to work in an Albanian Kosovar refugee camp, and that sort of got me started. So it was a dream of mine my whole life, and I have been a clinical nurse and then a nurse practitioner for many years. And then in 2006, after doing several volunteer trips for Samaritan's Purse, they asked me if I would be willing to become a full-time employee, and so I did. So I've been doing this full-time for them since 2006.
Wow. And how often, when you go on these relief missions, tell us a little bit about how that works. They call you and you kind of drop things and head in there to set things up or to relieve people, or tell us how that works.
Well, we are both a relief organization, and we do some development also. So a lot of my work is involved in visiting existing programs we have in the countries that we're in. But whenever a disaster arises, I'll just use the recent large typhoon in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. We had to get over there as quickly as possible. And so I was initially part of what they call the emergency management team, where we get together and on daily phone calls and in what we call the war room at headquarters and discuss what we're going to be doing. And then we begin to call up people, nurses and doctors in health, and then the other sectors, the wash and sanitation, water and sanitation sector, and construction and all of that. So usually I'm in on the beginnings of it because of my position as the international health advisor. So that's how it gets started. And generally, I end up going to the emergency site itself, like such as Haiti, and I was at the earthquake, and I was in Kosovo, and actually other places too. So I generally get in on the ground floor of the planning.
Now, in talking about this, the article that you wrote, what impressed me, we get a lot of quite a lot of submissions from nurses who do this wonderful work in different parts of the world and with different organizations, but many times it doesn't have the detail that we need so that readers really can understand what the nitty-gritty is of your response. And what struck me with yours is that it was such a nice, detailed explanation. It's like it's so that you could really get a feel for all the challenges that you had down there, and just how the article sets up. You know, from when you were first down there, and you know, starting out with the initial cholera treatment unit, and then you had a cholera treatment center, And the organization was very impressive to me, how things just seemed to, you know, you had the security, you had the water, the sanitation people, and yet it was all very well detailed so that you really could see all the elements that were broken out. When you start this, when you go down, you're, of course, concerned about the clinical aspects, but that can't happen without the others as well.
And that's absolutely correct. For some reason, my organization has an uncanny way of getting into these disasters rather quickly, and I'm not even quite sure how we do it. But you're right, we do need the other elements, such as the water and sanitation, hygiene called WASH, and security, and the other elements. And we oftentimes partner with people that are already there. We partner sometimes with churches and the pastors, and we have a branch of Samaritan's Purse called Operation Christmas Child, where we pass out, I don't know, it's up to about 10 million shoeboxes every Christmas, and there are people working in, I don't know how many, many, many countries that are involved in that process in the fall, so they also can be resources for us. So we already have a little bit of an inroad mm-hmm. when we get started, which makes it a lot easier for us to initiate the work we'd like to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the points you made very clearly is that cholera management really is so much about nursing care. And I thought about that for a moment, and when I thought about the initial earthquake, you know, so many of the injuries were orthopedic injuries, so you need, you know, surgery and physicians and surgeons and people who then came in to fit in prosthesis. But the cholera really is nursing care, and that really struck me.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's probably what prompted me to want to write this article, because it's actually basic nursing care, and when I say that, I mean intakes and outputs and monitoring and watching the patient. For example, these folks have these rice-colored diarrheal stools beyond what you could ever imagine as far as volume. That is not replaced. That's when the person begins to get in trouble, and that is strictly a nursing task. And so it struck me that in taking care of cholera patients, that nurses are a real mainstay of helping these folks to survive. Of course, we need the physicians and the providers to write the orders and to, you know, to see the patients and all, but we basically need nurses to take care of these patients. And they oftentimes, in Haiti anyway, they worked along with a family member who would be involved in cleaning the patient and in emptying the buckets of the stool and that type of thing. But it is so much absolutely accurate nursing care, intake and output, observing the patient, because we really had nothing like cardiac monitors to assess for hypokalemia. We had no laboratory, so it all became our eyes, our ears, our stethoscopes, what we saw, what we heard, what we could do as nurses. And that's when I decided, wait a minute, we need to tell nurses about this because they're so instrumental in taking care of this disease that I'm still trying to deal with the fact that this is one of the most incredibly, I don't know, overwhelming diseases in the world, that somebody can die so fast, but they can survive very quickly if they are given the right type of treatment.
Yeah, you mentioned that death sometimes occurred as quickly as 2 hours after symptom onset.
Yes.
And that was amazing to me, and that's just because all of a sudden they're just having such volume, large volumes of diarrhea that they just, with their electrolytes and everything else being discharged, that they just go into shock, I would guess.
Yeah, they go into hypovolemic shock, and, you know, of course, not everybody dies that suddenly, probably most do not, but, you know, there's other factors to weigh in, such as do they have an immune compromise in any other way? Are they very elderly? Are they very young? You know, are they HIV positive? Mm-hmm. That type of thing. So there's other factors to weigh in when it comes to how soon they're going to have an irreversible hypovolemic shock and die.
Mm-hmm. Now, for nurses who are new to this type of work, when you get nurses who volunteer and say, well, I'll go down and help out in the cholera epidemic, what's the process that, in terms of making sure this nurse is up to the task and she needs to know, he or she needs to know about cholera, how do you prepare the nurse that's heading down there?
Well, when we started out, you know, because we started needing nurses rather quickly, I would say that a vast majority of our nurses had not had any exposure to working with cholera victims in the past. So when they got to Haiti, I think after a little bit they were able to, the recruiting folk were able to develop a handout to begin to teach them about what to expect. And then when they got down to Haiti, we were we had a compound that we stayed at, and our medical director and several nurses that were working there, expatriate nurses, were there for a year or 2 years and really, really knew Haiti and began to develop a orientation package for the nurses that were coming down. And again, that became more sophisticated as time went on, because when we started, it just, the whole thing started and expanded so quickly. They only got a few hours of orientation or a couple of hours and had to get right out there and start seeing patients, especially in the cholera treatment center. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cholera treatment unit wasn't difficult, because it's basically giving them the patient's oral rehydration so that they could, when it was in an early stage before they deteriorated into a shocky situation.
I was impressed also with the, and I think everyone would, with when one looked at the total mortality rate, that the total mortality rate for all your facilities was 0.23%. But the overall fatality rate for patients at all the different cholera treatment centers in Haiti was 2.3%. That's a remarkable difference.
I really am not sure of all the reasons why. I do say that our logistics people were able to get the IV solutions that we needed, the equipment to go with the IV solutions, the starter kits and the tubing and that type of thing, and they just—I'm not quite sure how they did it,
but they did it.
You know, we as far as I know, at least at the Bercy CTC, at the one in City Soleil, I really can't speak for that one because I didn't work there. But as far as I know, we did not run out of ORS, we did not run out of IV solutions, and if you do that, you're in real trouble. Mm-hmm. So I would say that probably had something to do with it, and if you think about the fact that cholera was so widespread and probably a lot of the folks were being cared for in local facilities that just did not have the resources at an organization like ours does.
Yeah. And the article for our listeners is very well organized in terms of what the cholera treatment is with oral antibiotics and the sanitation practices and all the nursing considerations for intake and output and what replacement fluids and how much. So it's as well as being a wonderful report on how this group responded and organized to treat cholera, it's a great clinical article as well on how to manage cholera. So on both fronts, I just want to thank you for a wonderful piece, and I'm sure it'll be very valuable to many people, especially those who participate in this kind of work.
So. Well, thank you very much for that. Yes, I think nurses, we need to get the word out of how valuable nurses are in situations like that. I mean, it just amazed me how well these nurses did, and then how they began to educate the Haitian nurses, who eventually just started doing extremely well. They were developing leadership skills. They were learning how to manage the patients extremely well. So it was kind of a way to show the best of what nursing is. And that's when I decided, you know, I need to try to put this down for people to read. Mm,
that's great. Now, what would you say to a nurse who would like to be to take kind of the nursing career path that you took? What do you think would be valuable for a nurse to do to get started on the same career path that you're now involved in?
I think you have to have a sense of adventure. I think you have to be willing to live in some very primitive situations. I think one of the things that can get folks started is when they're in nursing school, or say they're in graduate school or getting a master's in public health, if they can take a couple of volunteer trips to some of these developing countries just to see what it's like, to see if they enjoy it. And because sometimes it's kind of hard to break in immediately into one of the major international non-government organizations. And when that person does that, he or she will find out if they're made for this type of work. And it seems like either you are or you are not. And if you get, I say, bitten by the bug of doing this international work, both relief work and the other things that we do, it becomes almost addictive. And so I would say they need to start looking at ways where they could maybe volunteer to go with a group that's already going somewhere, even if they have to raise their own funds, mm-hmm. because it'll give them an idea of what it's going to be like. And then take it from there, and then probably begin to develop a CV that's going to be one that an international agency would look at, and hope that they can get started then.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mary Lou, thank you so much. Listeners can also see not just your article, but they can see you on the cover of the May issue of AJN. And we're very pleased that that worked out as well. So thank you again for this wonderful article and for the really important work that you do.
Thank you. May I just say one
sure.
thing? If you don't mind, I'd like to give a huge amount of credit to the Samaritan's Purse folks that were down in Haiti, staying there for months at a time, the nurses and the other, all of the other staff and the other sectors doing their work, because without that foundation, we couldn't have done our work at all.
Mm-hmm. It truly does take a village, I guess.
Yes, it does.
Thanks again.
Thank you.